Memory I have, a vivid memory, is right on the corner of Brunswick Street and Willow Street. There used to be a donut factory in there that they used to call McMullen's Donuts. Now, McMullen used to discard the waste donuts, or whatever you want to call them. They used to throw them over the Milford Bridge in the Penobscot. There was none of this secondhand buying ring. They just got rid of that stuff. All us kids, and I'm talking about we kids, ages 12 to 15 maybe. Like I said, we used to live on the river. Well, we knew if come 5 o'clock, they were going to dump donuts over the bridge. So there was always three or four boats sitting under the Milford Bridge. And as soon as they throw the donuts in, we dive and get them before they get all wet. So that's this might ring a bell with some of the other kids that used to be there. And
did you do that too?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't do half the things that Al did. I wasn't as adventurous as he was.
And another memory I think of, it used to scare our parents to death, because we used to go to school, a lot of times we crossed in a boat. And our favorite thing was, like, I used to live right near the river, and we had what we used to call a little eddy there, and that's where we used to put our boats. Well, the girls used to cross with us and everything, and sometimes the girls would cross alone in the boat. So at night, we'd get down there, being a frog pond was always full of frogs. We'd fill a boat full of frogs, so the next morning when the girls would go, they wouldn't dare to take the boat. And then directly down the end of the islands where the Codys lived and everything, right across is what we used to call in French La Pointe aux Puces, which I don't know what that would be in English. But anyway, the Rossignols and the Lavois used to live over there, and the Petries, they all lived over there. Well, when they used to go shopping at Old Town, they'd take their boat and cross over onto French Island, and most of the times they'd walk from French Island to downtown, or they'd go over where the railroad track was. But most of the time they'd cross on French Island. Well, we wanted to go swimming. Most of the time we'd swim to the boom, what they used to call the headwork. We'd swim there, and then we'd swim all over the place. But if one of those people had gone over with a boat to go downtown, we'd take that boat and cross the boat. So when they'd come back from shopping, that boat was back on the other side. So those were mischievous things we used to do as kids. Yeah.
Who were some of your friends when you were young?
Oh, my God. Raymond Markey, which is deceased just last year. Lionel Robichaud. Walter Simon. Raymond Martin. And, oh, my God. We were an awful bunch. But I can't remember most of them.
Did you play with your cousins mostly, or were there different cousins?
Oh, yes. Yes. Cousins. In fact, I have a cousin, Don Voder, that is like a brother to me. Maybe a couple of years younger. And Harold Lackety, which... We were all brought up on the island in very knit-tied families. And some of us chummed together, but others didn't chum together, but we were real close.
Did you notice if French Island was broken up into different sections, different
gangs? Yes, to a certain extent. The people living on the east side of the river, and east side of the island and the west side of the island, which where the island school was, would be the east side of the island. And the other side, people didn't mingle that. They were very friendly and everything, but you were friendly with your own side of the island more, as far as the boys go. I don't know what the girls did. And we used to have a lot of fights in the wintertime on the ice, because like I say, then the river used to freeze all around the island. You could skate around the island comfortably. We didn't worry, but our parents did. And everybody had skating rinks, like the people on the French Island side, which would be the Milford side. They had skating rinks there, and the people from La Pointe aux Puces, we used to call it, they'd have, and then the people from Great Works, they had a skating rinks, and the people from Bradley had skating rinks, so you can imagine everybody skating around. Some of them didn't want you when you're their territory, and it wasn't any big thing like you see the street fights today, maybe a little disagreement fight, so you stay in your own rink, but that's the way it was in the wintertime. In the summertime, the river was open. We used to go up the dam, and I remember a vivid thing when I was real young. The island just below the dam, we used to call it Sand Plum Island. And my sisters used to take me there when I was real young. We'd go up there, and to me it was an immense island. But when you look at it today, I don't think it's 25 feet across. But they told me the story that that's where Tarzan lived. So whenever I went up there, I'd look all around trying to see Tarzan. And that's a vivid memory with me. And then the island right below that, which we used to call Muskrat Island, which would be right across from where the old Chapman Mill used to be, right at the foot of Island Hill. To those who remember Chapman's, there was an island there, and we used to call that Muskrat Island, and we used to go there and play cowboys and Indians all day long, all day. It was very easy to swim across. It wasn't 20 feet across there. Yeah. Do you have any memories?
I'd like to know a little bit about what your childhood games were like.
Childhood games? The biggest game was Otter Evil. I don't know what you'd call it. I've heard of hide and seek and Otter Evil and Relievo, but we used to call it Otter Evil, which you'd have a circle, you'd make a circle, and you were two teams. One team would go hide, and one team would seek. Now, when you find the person, you have to bring them and put them in that circle, that caught, and then you look for the others. And then you put a guard, somebody to guard the circle. Now, if one of the other team that is hiding, if they can come and run through that circle without getting caught, everybody that's in the circle are free again. So that used to go on all night. And then we used to play tin cans used to put tin cans on your shoes, used to bang them just so much, and they'd clamp on the heels of your shoe. And we used to play cowboys and Indians. Like, clunk, 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 we'd run with that. And then another thing, we'd just take a wheel. I don't understand how we got amused with that. We'd take just an ordinary small wheel, a cart wheel or something, and we'd take a stick and put a board down the stick to make it like a T-stick, and we'd push that wheel along with that, keep it going. Now, that's a game that we used to play often. Just, you know, of course, we get in the old rubber tires and roll and sliding in the wintertime.
Families have gardens?
Oh, yes, a lot of gardens, and we used to steal a lot in the gardens. The favorite one on French Island was poor Mrs. Blair. Mrs. Blair, they used to live right on the corner of Bodwell Street and Front Street. She used to have a house there, and she had the best apples on French Island, and everybody knew it. And she had an awful problem keeping apples. But everybody had gardens, and everybody had apple trees, some better than others, and they were raided often. But it was an accepted thing. And the biggest thing on French Island was, especially being Catholic, was mardi gras. Mardi gras was a custom that the older people, the younger people would go around stealing candy. But actually it wasn't stealing, because the older people would make the candy, mostly la cire, what they call a cire is a taffy candy. They'd make it, and they put it out on their porch. Whatever they'd make, they put it out there for somebody to take it. Because the custom is that mardi gras is the day before Lent, and most everybody gave up sweets and everything, so you eat all you can mardi gras because you're not going to have any more during Lent.
When did they stop doing that?
Oh, I think that, a long time ago, because, I'd say the last time I remember it vividly, 14, 15 years old. And then trick-or-treat took over, and then it started being trick-or-treat instead of mardi gras.
Yeah, but that's a different holiday altogether.
I know it's a different holiday, but I know that's where the thing of going around houses and getting things. Mm. Before that, it was mardi gras. We didn't have trick-or-treat.
What was Lent like? Was that a holiday that all the families observed?
Yes, Lent was observed, mostly penance. A lot of people gave up things, and a lot of people went to church, and me as a kid and being a seminarian, I remember, no, I wasn't a seminarian. I was still in grammar school, but there used to be Alphonse de Rozier, which lived in Bradley, and Walter Simon and I and a couple others. For penance, we didn't go to church in St. Joseph's here because we belonged to St. Joseph Church. We went to the Bradley Church. We'd ride our bicycles to Bradley, and every morning when we'd come back, we'd stop at Alphonse de Rozier's house, Mr. Onesime de Rozier. He just passed away a while ago, wonderful man. And we used to stop there, and he'd give us all an egg, a fresh egg. He had chickens and everything. He'd give us all a fresh egg, and we'd go home and cook the egg for breakfast. And that's very vivid in my mind. And he remembered that all his life. And we were friends, because Alphonse died at an early age. We were in school together. And that's the way it was. everybody went to church. As kids, we went to church practically every morning. Confession was compulsory. Most of us didn't want to go, but being in the Catholic school, you went every week. They used to march you there and go to confession. Mm. Yeah.
Did they have farms, like farm animals? Yes. On the island
too? No, not on the island. There wasn't enough territory on the island. That's the one thing wrong about the island. Homes were too packed.
Well, do you remember when it wasn't so packed, or was it always
packed? It was always packed.
Why do you think?
Before my time, like if somebody owned a piece of land on French Island, usually they were all immigrants on French Island. Most of them came from Canada, and they settled in a French settlement, which was French Island mostly, in Old Town. And if he owned a piece of land and he started his family there, well, his brother would come down. Well, you build a house on my land right here. And they'd build them right close together. There was no zoning laws or anything, so the houses were piled right on top of the other. But here, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, they had a program in Old Town to take down a lot of the homes, which they did. You know, they'd buy the homes and they'd tear them down, which French Island is a little more open then than it was when I was a kid. But it was people were very, very close. Anything that happened, everybody was at a rally, and not just relatives, everybody. Funerals and everything, they were unbelievable. Marriages were unbelievable. Any disaster, everybody rallied, which you don't see now. It's
why do you think that some of that changed?
Well, I don't think it's a French community anymore. French Island is not a French community. There's a few of the old homesteads up there. But, you know, they're all, the people that were brought up there, very, very few homes that are in the old homesteads now. And a lot of the homesteads are torn down.
I think that some of the change came about from the war. Many of the boys and the ladies who went into the service during World War II met people from other states and migrated there at other states, and the same, some brought wives or husbands back here, and so the French dissipated to a great extent because of it, you know, the coming together with other English speaking people limited the French, so the world has become smaller. Yes.
Can you talk about
yes.
that a little bit?
Yes. I remember that my father couldn't find any work, and he was so discouraged. I'll never forget the look on his face. He was sitting at the table just looking down, and after being out looking for work, and he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's just no work. And I was young. I was very young, but I could see the pain in him then. I recognized it as a youngster, and I remember feeling so sorry for him, because I knew that it had to be terrible for him. And he finally did get work. He worked for himself mostly before, and he was a painter, a house painter and decorator. But when the Depression was on, there was no work. Nobody could afford to have anything done. But he finally got hired by a company as a boss painter. And I remember he made $24 every 2 weeks as a boss painter.
What's a boss painter?
A supervisor.
Oh.
A supervisor. Hmm. They called them bosses. But, yeah.
Where did he work?
Oh, gosh. I think the name... The name leaves me now. A company from Bangor.
He was self-employed most of his life.
He had been, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they took him on and as a supervisor, and he made $24 every 2 weeks for quite a long time. Then that was quite a while. Yeah, it was quite a while. Those were hard times. That's all I remember. I never remember not having enough food, though. We always had enough, but my grandfather was very good to us. He ran that grocery store, and And he fed about everybody on the island, I guess. But, and people used to say, you know, since I've been grown up, I've been asked, were you poor when you were young? And I remember the first time I was asked that, I had to really think about it. Because I never considered myself poor. I never thought about it. But that time I did think about it, and I thought, I guess we were. But we were no poorer than our neighbors. We were all poor, I guess. But we didn't know that. We had fun. I had a very good childhood. We all had fun. We made our fun. We laughed. I remember I have a cousin, Virginia Landry Stone, and we used to sit behind her mother's kitchen stove, and we'd make ourselves laugh. We'd make crazy faces and tell tall stories, and we would laugh and laugh and laugh. We had the best time just doing that. Fun, honest. We talk about it today, and we start laughing all over again. Yeah.
Carol, you asked me a while ago, my friends, and I, you being here and everything, reminded one of my best friends was your father, Harold St. Louis. And we've had great times together, Harold and I. And I remember Harold, mostly he was very nervous in the car, and I think that Connie can vouch for that. And he was very nervous fishing. He'd go on a lake, he loved all of it. He loved fishing, he loved hunting. But he was one that's very, when we go somewhere, he had to drive or he wouldn't go. And I'm telling you, it was slow driving. Maybe you know that. But I remember going to Moosehead a good many times with him. And if he'd see somebody 2 miles up the road, he'd start slowing down and start tooting the horn. And so many memories. We used to go to camp a lot on at his father's camp on Sunkay Stream. We used to go up there a good many times and sleep. And one night we were going up and Harold St. Germain used to have a taxi service down the bottom of the hill. We had no ride out there, so, because out to the road, then we'd walk into the stream. So we got in the car, there was three of us, I guess, in the taxi. I remember I was in the front, Harold was in the back, and somebody else there. Harold St. Germain was known for a little fast driving, so he started going up there pretty fast, and I could see Harold sinking down his seat all of a sudden. He got right out, let me out, let me out. And we had to let him out. And I think I was one of the first ones that had a car. I had an old Model A 31 convertible coupe, I think. And I remember he was in it one day, and we were coming up from Howard Street, coming up to Main Street, and I think I was going a little fast on the curb. Never rode with me after that, never. I'd see him downtown, want to ride home, Harold? No, never get in. So Harold and I had a lot of memories.
Yeah, he was a very gentleman.
And you, I think you know how much that upset me when we first saw him for a long time. Nice man.
Can you tell me a little bit what you remember about the Depression?
I don't remember that much about the Depression. The first memory it's like Rita, I know we were having hard times, but I really don't. My first real memory is of a flood that we had in old, and I think that was a 1936 flood, which would make me about 7 years old. They expected the Old Town Bridge to go out. The water was high enough, and the ice was slamming against it. And because all the people on French Island were going down to watch the bridge go out. And I remember my father taking me down there, and it didn't go out anyway. But that's as far as I can remember is about 1936. But I remember a lot of stories my father told me about younger. And I do remember something else when I was real young. Down in Bradley, near the Bradley Dam, you know the dam that down where the mill is? On the Bradley side, there used to be a big platform there right over the river, right near the dam. And people used to go there when the salmon were running and watch the salmon jump over the dam, a lot of salmon in those days. And he used to take me down there often, watch the salmon. And it's a sight that very few people remember now. But that used to crowd up there all the time, watch a salmon jumping up over the dam. Yeah, and I don't really remember much of my younger days. St. Joseph's I remember vividly. Some of the nuns that taught us are very good friends of ours now, and we go over the old times, and they come visit. Our favorite nun was my favorite nun was Sister Teresa, which is Sister Nora now, and we see each other often. And she's very friendly with my wife and a lot of the other nuns. No, she's in Biddeford now, I think. Saco or Biddeford, one of those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she comes visit often, and because we were very, both of us were very active, because we had children in the convent school. We had one in almost every year for a while. We have 8 children, so in one time there was almost one in every grade over there. Yeah, and we were always very close to the church. Anyway, we did a lot for the church. And because I left when I was younger, I left right from grammar school. I was 4 years in the seminary in Bucksport, which I knew I didn't want to be a priest, but I thought the training was good, so I made my high school there. And then I went in service, and then I met my wife, and we started a family.
Well, now I have a little stretch of a question from that. Do you remember anything about the bootlegging on French Island?
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Well, a lot of my friends there, their fathers sold bootleg, and we used to be there while they were selling it, because along with the bootlegging, there was always a card game or gambling, and the biggest thing was card games, and they'd play cards, and they'd sell beer and everything, and there was a lady on our street that used to buy all the bottles we could get, small bottles or big bottles, anything, 1 or 2 cents we'd get for the bottles, and they used to make homemade whiskey, bootleg whiskey, in the bathtub, and they'd bottle it in those bottles that we used to buy, and there was good many people that used to sell beer, a lot of beer, on French Island, and I remember those days, but we thought nothing of it, we thought not a thing of it, nothing. And another thing that might fascinate, I always loved hunting and everything, and I know that when I was a kid, a lot of people didn't have much to eat on the island, so rabbits, wild rabbits, was a staple. And the people that used to hunt rabbits, they used to peddle them in those little red carts, because that's unheard of today. That would be, Humane Society would hang you for something like that today.
Explain that a little bit.
They used to go hunt rabbits, wild rabbits, and they'd sell them on French Island.
Just well, up and down the street?
Yeah, they'd go up down the street with a cart, a little red cart, right full of rabbits, and sell them. And there was a man that used to have deer in his garage all the time. Used to go in there and buy meat just like you would at a butcher shop. You'd buy deer steaks or something. You'd always have 2 or 3 deer hanging there. It was against the law. But, you know, most wardens and everything paid no mind to it because the people were eating that food. They weren't just killing for nothing. A lot of people survived on that meat. My father, excuse me, when he was younger, he had a little workshop across the street from where I lived, and he converted it into a rabbit pen. He made pens, and people ate tame rabbit also, a lot of tame rabbit. And he raised rabbits for a long time and sold them. Because I remember I used to have to clean the pens out when I was a kid. He had rigged it up so that there'd be a sleigh that would slide under the rabbit pen, and you'd take those, a tray, I mean, and you'd take those all out, and I'd put them in a wheelbarrow, bring down the river, wash them, and bring them back. And I, at one time, he had over 250 rabbits in there. Yeah, so, you know, people did what they had to do. And everybody had gardens, like, you see. I remember my father, I should name a name here. My father had a garden, and he used to experiment a lot. He used to grow cantaloupes, he grew peanuts, and he grew spaghetti squash, they call it, that they used to eat the insides, too. And he was one of the first one experimented with white tomatoes. They were white when they were ripe. And one year, he grew watermelons. And he got 2 watermelons out of it, out of what he grew. And one of them he was saving in the backyard. And a good friend of mine and I took it and ate it. You'd be surprised to know who that good friend was. I better not name him. It's not your father.
No,
you were pretty much away from that.
No, no, no. I knew it went on and I saw it, but That's about it.
It was very open. It wasn't anything hid.
There were so many people who did it.
It wasn't anything hid.
It was the product of the times, I guess. You know.
And I, in today, looking back, I don't think it was anything bad anyway. I think depression and whatever they call it, when they didn't allow you to have liquor, I think that was a very bad move. Because when they put stuff like that underground, it's even worse. Anything they put underground is worse. But, you know, it was a tradition with the older people to get together and have a beer, and all of a sudden they cut that out. Well, you don't cut tradition out that easy. And I don't blame those people for doing it. It was get together, that's all they had to do in those times. But because some people took advantage of it like anybody else does. You know, they made money with it, and they got the drunks in there and everything, but there was very few places like that. Most of them were just neighbors come in for a beer or something, and that was all it was, and I don't see anything wrong with it at all.
Do you remember the different stores on French Island besides the one that you mentioned, T&K?
There was a T&K on top of French Island Hill, and then on Union Street there was an IGA market, and then there was Babe St. Louis, which was before that was Lavasse's. And that's what I remember it to be, Lavasse's store. And then and Frank Landry had a store down on Front Street. And then what I remember most was Pete Taylor started a hot dog stand next to a St. Louis's market, which was Lavasse first, and then St. Louis bought it. And right next to that, Pete Taylor started a hot dog stand, and he started selling donuts, which today, LaBrie Brothers bought the Pete Taylor, the recipe from Pete Taylor, and LaBrie's donuts today are Pete Taylor's old recipe. That's where it all started. They started baking donuts on the end, down near you, Connie, down there. Yeah, LaBrie's house, they had a little shop in the back, and of course they moved to bigger places. But they acknowledged that, Almond LaBrie and Pat LaBrie, they acknowledged that and it was Pete, because Pete Taylor was a great cook. He was an army cook while he was in there, and when we went fishing, everybody wanted Pete Taylor to be around because he did all the cooking.